Hello, this is Pastor Becca Bateman of Doylestown Presbyterian Church. As our podcast audience continues to grow, I want to thank our loyal listeners and welcome those who may have just recently found us. We know that life can quickly become so busy, so this podcast offers an on-the-go opportunity to hear Sunday's sermon, along with a scripture lesson from that day's lay leader or preacher. We also encourage you to visit our website at dtownpc.org to learn more about our church and all the diverse ministries. Thank you for tuning in.
Preceded by Lent, and then for the next 50 days, it's called Eastertide. Most Presbyterians think Eastertide is some type of laundry detergent that you use at this time of the year, or some kind of leftover casserole. We don't really pay much attention, perhaps as we should. This is the season that we continue to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Our lesson this morning comes from the very last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. It is perhaps the most mysterious and misused chapter and entire book used throughout Christendom. But we will take a peek at it this morning. John writes from the 21st chapter, and he'll use words of symbolism. He'll talk about a new heaven and a new earth, which is a symbol for new creation, as Isaiah proclaimed. He'll talk about, and there shall be no more sea. And by that, it was often a symbol of turbulence and unrest. And then there is the notion of the bride coming down from heaven adorned as her husband, a symbolic gesture of beauty and something so lovely. Listen as I read for you from the 21st chapter of Revelation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God, and they will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And this is the word of the Lord. Pray with me, please. Our gracious God, as we gather together in the joy of this day, enter into the sanctuary of each person here. May they each hear the wonderful good news of your gospel. So quiet in us every voice but your own. Amen. I revealed to you some weeks ago and then mentioned it again in the little sermon blurb that goes out on Fridays to the members. Just sort of a little sermon teaser. I basically said that, as many of you know, my wife cannot get enough of those Easter yellow, sugar-filled marshmallow peeps. Now, the good news for me is that they are now discounted 70% off the original price. I guess that's because Easter's over, or is it? And that's the question. Is it over, or is Easter still with us? I want to share a story with you this morning, and then we'll tack on a little sermon at the very end. Back in 1973, I was ordained and installed as a minister. I mentioned that to one of the elders yesterday, And they laughed and said, oh, I was born in 1973. Well, I was fortunate. I was called to be the associate pastor at a very large, affluent Presbyterian church called Fox Chapel, just outside of Pittsburgh. As I said, it was a very affluent church. Our clerk of session happened to be the president and CEO of all of Gulf Oil at the time. He was just one of many. Well, it was a Thursday afternoon around 4 o'clock when a nurse from Children's Hospital in Pittsburgh called the church office and asked if we could please have a minister come to the hospital as soon as possible. There was a little boy, a 9-year-old boy named Wade. And in the morning, Wade would be facing a very delicate, very complicated heart surgery. They were not from the Pittsburgh area. Wade and his mom traveled there because Children's Hospital seemed to be the best hope they had. Well, when Betty came into my office and shared the story and said, you should go, I said, oh, Betty, I've only been here a week. I don't even know which key works which door. And to be honest with you, I mean, we talk about this stuff in seminary, but we never really do it. I just don't have the experience. You need to ask Chris. Chris is the senior pastor of this church. He's very talented. He's had many of these experiences. And that's why he gets the big bucks. You need to see the senior pastor. And she said, he's not here. There you go, Becca. Every time you want a senior pastor, they're nowhere to be found. Well, I mumbled and I grumbled as I walked to the car. Oakland, where the hospital is located, the traffic will give you a migraine. It's where the University of Pittsburgh is located. You cannot find a parking spot. And so I grumbled all of the way. And when I arrived through all the traffic, I could not find a parking place. Now, I know some people say they can pray and they find a parking place. I tried it. It didn't work for me. But then it dawned on me, wait, I'm a minister now. They must have clergy parking at the hospital. They did, and I pulled in, and the attendant said, where is your clergy parking sticker? I said, sir, I don't have one of those. And he said, where's your clergy collar? I don't have one of those either, sir. And I begged and pleaded, and he took pity on me and let me in. I walked up to the appropriate floor and was met by a delightful, warm nurse. She said, come with me and I'll introduce you to Wade and to his mom. She said, I don't know how I can ever thank you. Thank you enough for coming to see Wade. And I said, oh, no trouble at all. Happy to do it. And then I prayed that God would forgive me for lying to such a wonderful nurse. She took me to meet Wade's mom. She was a very simple-looking individual, nothing flashy, simply dressed. But worry was written all over her face. And then she said, this is Wade, a little 9-year-old boy sitting in a wheelchair that seemed to just engulf him. He was so tiny and so frail. After we exchanged a few greetings, The mother said, "I'll leave you two alone because I think Wade would like to talk with you." And Wade's first question to me was, "You're a real minister, right?" I said, "Yep, I'm the real deal. This is all you got today, Wade." Yeah, I'm a minister." He said, "Okay." And I don't know how it happened. I want to believe it was the presence of God's Spirit, realizing that there was a young minister just tripping all over himself. But there was a little boy who needed to be comforted with the love of God. So I really believe the Spirit somehow came and was with us. After a wonderful conversation, I said, "Wade, I need to go now." I said, "But don't worry, I'll be back in a day or two just to check on you." And he got real quiet and he motioned for me to come and lean in. And so I got down on one knee and I leaned in and he whispered in my ear, "I don't think I'm going to wake up tomorrow during the surgery. I think I'm going to die." Now, I don't know what you say. A little 9-year-old boy telling you that he thinks he's going to die. And then he said to me, "You know, I believe in Jesus." And is it true? Is it true all those things Jesus said? Is it true that he said we won't ever die? Is it really true that there'll be a place where there are no more tears or heart conditions or sorrow or crying or wheelchairs? Is it true? And I said, "Oh, Wade, it's true. It's more true than you and I will ever know." And he says, "Is it true that if we die, angels come and carry us to heaven?" I said, "I think that's true too, that the angels do carry us on to heaven." I said, "Oh, Wade, I want you to know how much Jesus loves you. I want you to know that Jesus promises to be with you. Oh, Wade, I want you to know that every day is Easter, because Easter happens every single day." He said, "But I really do need to go." He said, "Can you say a prayer to Jesus for me?" Now, I have no idea what I prayed, but I know I prayed that day with words too deep for sighs. And I prayed. And I gave him a little hug. "I'll see you in a few days." All the way home, I prayed for that little boy and for his mom and for the wonderful doctors, nurses, and surgeons who would be tending to his care. I prayed for all of them. And I prayed for myself that God would forgive me for being such a pitiful example of what it means to show you care as a believer and as a minister. The next afternoon, I called Children's Hospital. They connected me with the chaplain's office. And the chaplain said, Wade died during the surgery this morning. His mom left immediately. But she asked me to give you this message. Thank you for coming to see us. Thank you for spending a little time with Wade. He was so excited after you left. He told me over and over again how you reminded him, Wade, Jesus loves you. And how you promised him that when the time ever came for any of us, the angels would indeed carry us to heaven. And he loved the part about no more crying or pain or wheelchairs. And he loved it best when you told him, Wade, Easter happens every day. It's never over. And then she said, you know, there was a calm and a smile on his face that I had not seen in weeks. Now, I don't know what to make of that whole story, except that it happened 51 years ago. And I still think about a little 9-year-old boy with blonde hair, blue eyes, sitting in a wheelchair. You know, I honestly don't think I've ever done anything more important than I did that day. And I don't think I've ever said a prayer more meaningful and urgent than that prayer that day. I don't think in all my years of ministry I've ever done anything more like Christ would have done. All these years, I still see that little boy's face. Just as many of you, in the blinking of an eye, can see the face of a loved one who is no longer here. A loved one that, yes, the angels carried on to heaven. We can all still see their faces. Friends, Easter happens every single day. It happens now, and it happens forevermore. Amen and amen.
Thank you again for joining us today. Once again, I invite you to check out dtownpc.org for information about our worship and programming for all ages.